The Talk of Mid-Maryland, 930 WFMD.
This is the 930 WFMD Weekend Free Talk Express, featuring highlights from local talk shows with your host, Bob Dacey.
Hello, I'm Bob Dacey, and welcome to WFMD's Weekend Free Talk Express, where we revisit some of the best talk shows we have on the air for the past week. So let's sit back, relax, and listen to what we have in store for you on this week's show.
Well, welcome everybody to this week's edition of Weekend Free Talk Express, WFMD's weekly news magazine. And boy, we are just full of stuff this particular week. You know, all the election coming up and all the debates, we've got all kinds of information for you. You really need to check out our webpage too, Mid Maryland Live. You'll find interviews by candidates and also full debate information. But let's take a listen to what we got going for you today. We have people talking about Carl Bickle, who's trying to run for sheriff and apparently is running from his basement. Well, at least that's what the Morning News Express guys think. You want to listen to what they talk about and whether he's fit to be sheriff or not. We also have Tim and Frank asking you the question, are you better off today than you were 2 years ago? I think some of you might be able to answer that question pretty quickly. We also have another individual that calls in pretty regularly to Mid-Maryland Live, and that is Irv. Every Friday, right after the O'Reilly Factor, Irv calls in, normally with some national politics ideas or world politics ideas. This time he's talking about local, so you're going to like what Irv has to say. We also have the sheriff who calls in. The sheriff, yes, does call in the WFMD, as are all candidates able to. And he's talking about a problem he's having, or actually... And he's talking about a recruiting issue. It seems like some people are claiming that we have recruiting issues, but he doesn't seem to think so. So let's take a listen to what Sheriff Chuck Jenkins has to say about recruiting for the Sheriff's Department. But we're going to start off with that issue that just will not go away. Tim and Frank and a caller, again this week, Sugarloaf is another one of those things that just won't go away. We just can't seem to get rid of it. And we have Tim, Frank, and a caller talking about the whole Sugarloaf and property values thing. So without further ado, let's get started on this week's edition of Weekend Free Talk Express.
What to say? Saying all that, we talk local issues as well as national issues as such. And before we get into the national issues, I wanted to talk about a subject matter that we had covered quite well yesterday, I thought, having to do with what was the County Council of Frederick County, Maryland going to do because they had scheduled the final vote on the Sugarloaf overlay, basically a downzoning program by Frederick County to take properties that are zoned one way and change the zoning to a more restrictive zoning. So what happened last night? Well, I don't think anyone was surprised. In fact, I had texters, those who text, kind of tell me that was going to be postponed, and I guess I should have just announced that. And what they did, they postponed a vote for, I guess, what, Frank, another week? Is that what it is?
Another week.
And the reason being, Frank, what would you say the reason?
That they're trying to get last-minute compromises in.
What have they been doing since the last meeting?
Listening to testimony from the public.
No, I mean, after the meeting, they had 7 days to straighten this out. I mean, how long does it take to figure something out?
Now, I thought that you said they were in too much of a hurry and they should postpone it until after the midterm elections.
Yes. I agree.
Well, which isn't. Now you're complaining about it taking too long.
Well, I think we have to see.
One or the other.
No, it's not, Frank. It calms down. It should not have been scheduled for a vote under this board, number one. But since it has been, get it over with. Try that so that I can be consistent in my thoughts. I think they're foolish to bring it up at the end of the year. We have, about a month left to be in office or whatever. And this is something that's going to impact so many people in this county. And for the good, for the bad, but it's going to, as I say, have an impact. And I'm always curious when politicians tell you, you know, this needs to be done, we're going to do this, and this is what yada, yada, yada. And I've heard it so many times, people get elected, this is going to, well, dude, my first 100 seconds I'm in office, this is what's going to happen. Or the first, you know, if I drive by wherever I'm going to be elected to, I'll be able to make decisions that fast. And unfortunately, I am not the least bit surprised. No, not at all.
On the one hand.
Which hand?
On the one hand.
Okay.
To argue against what you're saying, to just kick it down the road more.
Mm-hmm.
Councilman Steve McKay, I thought, put it well.
Mm-hmm.
He's supporting the plan, and he said we might be able to tie the hands of the Planning Commission, but we can't tie the hands of the next council. We'll never be able to tie the hands of the next council. That's a risk I'm not willing to take, so I want to get this done and want to get it done on our term. Now, for the other argument of not voting this week, but putting it off one more week.
Yes.
Looks like Councilman Hagan is trying to take care of some small matters that might find it a little more acceptable to the people who run Sugarloaf Mountain.
And who are not, and who are opposed, might I add, to the downzoning change. Correct? Yes.
Well, this is, you know, it's a complicated thing. It's changing overlay.
It's not complicated.
Taking overlay away from those already zoned resource conservation. So it's complicated, but trying to reach a compromise.
It's an overlay trying to impose resource conservation over top zoned agriculture land, which can be has many more uses than when you go to, residential. What's it called? What's the RC or RU? What's the plan?
RU. I don't know.
Well, the plan. What's the first plan that they want to put in over top the agriculture?
I don't know. The whole thing's called the Sugarloaf Treasured Landscape Management Plan.
Yeah. Well, you just said it. I was listening, but I don't want to get it wrong. Anyhow, it's downzoning. And that's what it's doing. And downzoning affects property rights of owners and takes
it's preserving the west side of Urbana from turning into the east side all over again, which is the villages and all that.
So, in other words, what it's done is downzone the property rights of the owners that live on the
west. No, it just prohibits shooting ranges and carnivals and aircraft landing and circuses and industrial waste and rubble landfills and just all the things that I don't think we want to see happen to
it depends what it does to that
area.
It downzones the property rights and their land will not be as valuable, period. You forget that part. When you talk about your gun ranges, circuses, carnivals and all that, well, that's all well and good. But what I'm thinking about, if I were a landowner there, I'd be highly incensed that the county is devaluing my property by putting this new overlay to downzone my property. I just don't think that.
And I would be concerned that the developer who's most fighting this, who is somebody I happen to have known years ago, I haven't talked to him in a long time, but he's an all right guy. But if you're a developer and you own land in area you're trying to preserve, and you say, oh, I'm not going to, put all kinds of stuff there.
Right.
You still, if you're a developer and you own the land, maybe not in the next month or year or two, but I mean, at some point you're going to want to do something with it.
You mean like to be able to survive financially for the rest of your life,
So it's the general public's interest to preserve as much as we can and without stepping on too many toes, so they're trying to work it out.
Right. It's called downzoning. Yeah, it is. Oh, Frank, it is. Well, anytime you restrict something downward, it's downzoning. If you restricted it up, if you went up to commercial, whatever, then it's a different story.
No, it's addressing what I think at least the majority, I'd say a big majority of people in Frederick County are concerned with, and that's overdevelopment.
Well, I don't know.
You call it downzoning.
I call it downzoning. I call it taking property owners' rights away, Frank. I mean, I didn't see any indication that the Sugarloaf folks were going to, build high rises or anything like the city of
Frederick. You make it sound like the county wants to steal the land from people.
They do.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely.
Want to prohibit activities
on land that they don't own. Yes, I see how well the county tries to accommodate businesses, how well they've worked with them rather than shutting them down. The county has always been known to be so much in love with the, events and venues. So appreciative. Well, if I'm a property owner and the county is going to do something to lower the value of my property, which most people, that is their largest asset that they have. And that asset, you can play it many ways. And I think that when I hear downzoning, it bothers me. It really does. Because I just see big government coming in there. And again, I mean, if I was, I'd love to have the, Frank, wait till you hear this part. You'll get surprised. Frank, you ready for this? You're going to really be surprised.
Yeah.
I'd love to preserve it, so that there was never another house built in this county, and we had all the open space. I would really love it, but I don't live.
Well, I think that would be going too far, but
I don't live in that insane bubble.
Yes, you live in Frederick County.
Yes.
And this is part of Frederick County.
Yeah.
Big section of it where
I am still,
not everybody's real happy about everything that's happened on the east side of 270.
I'm still happy with owners owning property that they have their rights supported, not negated. Let's see what Bob says. Bob, I'm going to let you talk because you have a lot of sense. Go ahead, brother.
How are you?
I'm well. I thank you for asking.
That's good. So I'm getting to think there's a little bit of a conspiracy theory here.
Ooh.
I don't understand why Ty can only get two votes. What about the other two Democrats? They usually vote in lockstep, especially Fitzwater. Why aren't they voting for it?
They might not. They put off their decision. We don't know.
No. But
that's the point he's making.
Why do they put off their decision? I mean, according to Kai Hagan, the guru of all things environment, you know, he thinks this is a no-brainer. I mean, they've studied it for 2 years, and but haven't heard a peep out of MC or Fitzwater.
Well,
it
if I was
seems strange to me.
If I was one of those two individuals, I would say that it's such an important decision that the last minute, you know, people are coming up with ways. Maybe this will work and that will work, and they're just wait. They're going to have to
for 2 years. Well,
they're going to have to say no, next week. You can't put it off anymore.
Well, not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
So I think the two of them are waiting until after 11-8. Ty Hagen's lame duck. It's his deal, mm-hmm. And it's my opinion. And this is his swan song, or heading out. You know, don't let the door hit you, or the Lord split you, Kai. But
well, then they'll vote to reject.
I think this is so important. I think it needs to wait till the next county executive and council is seated. There's no reason why they can't wait till after the elections. No matter what happens, there are going to be folks that are currently on the county council that will be on the county council, including potentially the county executive who was on the county council who knows how government works. And they have all the information, and this is a very hot topic, and it should be tabled till after the elections.
What's a sheriff to do? We're talking about recruiting and how to run a sheriff's department. And Sheriff Chuck Jenkins comes into the Morning News Express and gives us a little bit of a hint.
We're hired by Bob Snyder over the past couple weeks, I think it was. I know at least one deputy, a friend of mine, Deputy Ripoli, and I saw another one online that retired as well. So had two retirements, over the last week and a half, 2 weeks. How quickly do we replace them? And is it, on a continuous basis, or do we have times where you have classes where they have to sign up and join and you send a whole bunch through at one time?
So we are now recruiting on a continuous basis and hiring on a continuous basis. We hire laterals. We're actually getting a fair amount of applicants as new recruits. We're getting some excellent laterals from Montgomery County, Montgomery County Police, Montgomery County Sheriffs, Baltimore City, that want to get out of those places they're policing because they have no backing by anybody. So we're getting good people, quality people, very, very well qualified, that are experienced in some cases. And on the recruit side, we're only getting the best and brightest people that want to police here. So as an agency, we've got 192 authorized sworn positions. Mm-hmm. Right now, we're down six. We have six vacancies. We have a retirement coming up at the end of this month. But we're going to continue to recruit and hire the best available people.
So now, do you have – I'm sorry, Ryan. Real quick. I mean, of course, obviously, we do have an equity officer – not officer, but an equity
person. Don't go down that
an
road.
Equity
don't,
salesman. Don't down, an equity down salesman.
Does that trickle down to the police department?
Listen, let me say this loud and clear so everybody hears this. I'm accused, right, Ryan, of being the biggest racist in Frederick County. But you know what? When you look at the diversity and hiring within our agency, both corrections and law enforcement, our numbers are better than the county government.
Yeah, it's a straight-up lie.
We hire, remember what I said, the very best eligible and qualified people we can find. I don't care what their race, ethnicity, gender, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, if you open your eyes.
I don't fall into this an equity word narrative.
Yeah, if you open your eyes and drive around Frederick County and look at the sheriff's deputies who have people pulled over, who are in schools, who you interact with, even the deputies that they bring to the radio station for Officer of the Week, they're brown, they're black, they're white, they're Jewish, they're Catholic, they're Christian. It doesn't matter, as long as they can do their job.
This is what I believe in. Equal treatment, equal justice, and more importantly, equal opportunity. When you believe those things, forget the word equity.
Right.
Equity means an equal outcome, and I can't guarantee that.
So just to be clear, you will debate. If your opponent was in front of you right now, we could clear the stage for a debate. You'd be up for it, yes or no?
Absolutely, yes. Today, tonight, tomorrow, any day.
Why won't he commit to any debates except virtual?
I have no clue. No clue. I just don't think he's in him. I think he's trying to wage the same campaign. I call it a Bickle in the Basement campaign, like mm-hmm. Biden in the basement. Okay, I don't think he wants to go face to face. He has no argument other than to smear me and cut me down. All he can do is criticize me. He can't offer any better ideas, any better suggestions on how to run the agency, how to keep this county safe. This man has no relevant management or law enforcement experience in the last 28 years since he was fired by Sheriff Jim Hagee back in 1994.
Mm-hmm. He was, by the way, one of the scariest people I ever met when he was a state trooper. I met him at Donald Gladhill's farm making hay, and he scared me. Even though he was a nice guy, he scared me.
I worked for him for, 12 years. He scared me a little bit sometimes.
What do people need to know about Sheriff Jenkins and how you run the agency? There's a lot of misconceptions about 287G. Yeah. The left will say people are getting snatched out of their cars and deported.
That's a jail-based program, about 0.1% of what we do. It means nothing. But how effective it is in Frederick County is phenomenal. Okay, so what they need to understand about me is that I care about this county, everybody that lives here, every citizen, about the future of the county, and about keeping you and your family safe. And as far as I'm concerned, and keep criminals off the streets. That's what a sheriff is all about. At the end of the day, that's what I do.
Now, if you're ready, we will begin.
Let's go!
Now, Mid-Maryland Live.
With Tim and Frank.
On 930 WFMD.
One, two, three, four.
A regular Friday caller named Irv calls in to Mid-Maryland Live and gives us his point of view on the local elections. Let's take a listen.
Hey, it's election time, and I'm going to break away from my usual national and foreign and whatever talk that I had planned. Bill O'Reilly, of course, always hits the nail on the head, talking about my favorite subject, the open borders and the drugs pouring into our country for the last 20 years. And Richard Nixon was one of the last people who were really on that case. And look at how far we've fallen. And it's not the atom bomb that's going to get to us. It's not the communists. It's going to be the drugs and lack of law enforcement due to defunding. So any politician who doesn't address those issues, I really don't care if it's Republican, Democrat, or socialist. They don't get my vote. Incidentally, we're listening to another thing. 56 police officers killed on the job this year alone. 175 injured. There's a Ms. Fitzsimmons who wants to defund the police. She should come with me to the police memorial every year and also question why Maryland all but eliminated the bail bond industry, letting more animals walk our streets. Some cops may have been killed, possibly by a delay, this is my thought, in using their weapons for fear of losing their jobs and maybe going to prison. So that's really on my mind. They are planning a huge change in my neighborhood. Already businesses we depended on have closed for good or have moved miles away to the Golden Mile. The plan calls for hundreds of apartment-style homes to be built around the entire area. And I got to tell you, I don't know if they planned for such growth. Should Patrick Street have been widened, or is it going to be? Are we going to add more police and services instead of talking about defunding? I don't know if that's happening, but it just seems like black lives never mattered to other people in the hood. And what really matters is our police officers and how they're coming to these ends. It's really disgusting. It is the long-term Democrats who have a fetish for more housing in our area, less services, bringing in more people living in apartments that come from outside the area with no vested interest in the community. Apartment living people, generally, unless they've lived here a long time, don't have the same interest in the community as house owners. So there's less services, including the police. We've got to add more with more housing. The conservative thinking of the Republican Party takes all factors into consideration instead of short-term thinking that has betrayed our cities years ago. The Dems were the People's Party. Now they are the party by and for the politicians and big business. The Republican Party is the new people's party. The Conservative Party is the Constitution Party that defends the Constitution for the new tomorrow. Incidentally, if you want to know what a conservative is a guy who drives a Tesla with a gun rack in it. How's that for a compromise? So anyway, we keep going with the fact that I want to get right now to the list of names that my party has endorsed, especially for the school board.
Now, if you're ready, we will begin.
Let's go!
Now, Mid-Maryland Live.
With Tim and Frank.
On 930 WFMD.
One, two, three, four.
A regular Friday caller named Irv calls in to Mid-Maryland Live and gives us his point of view on the local elections. Let's take a listen.
Here's a spin on things, so to speak. How's life affecting you? Really, are you really appreciating it? Are you better off today than you were yesterday? How about 2 years ago? That's what I'm talking about. You know, when things were hunky-dory. That's a time when, you know, we could afford gasoline. We could even fill our cars up. It wasn't so bad going to work because you only had to put in like $30 of gas. That could take you all week, well, at least a week, whatever. You know, when diesel was down under $5.50 a gallon, you know, the old days. When you go to the grocery store with a $100 bill and come out with one bag or two bags, but now you go in with two bags and come out with a $100 bill. That's sad. It's sad. Things have gone awry. And I'm not talking about the bread. No. And when I say that, it would be, you know, I would, if I was lamenting about the fact, well, things, this is the way it's going to be. No. These are man-made situations, man-caused situations. And we have to call out the man because he, through his administration and all the way down the line, have caused these problemos. That's right. We used to have things where, you know, we had a say in them. But recently, and I think it was 2020, the elections spurred people to vote because they get away from Donald Trump, the evil Donald Trump, you know, the man who only gave us prosperity, energy independence, less regulations, more security. But besides that, let's get away from him because he had a, you know, foul mouth. And my gosh, he'd say something, always saying something, insulting somebody. We don't need somebody like that. We need a real leader. Well, we got a real letter. I don't mean letter. Like a dead weight. No, I don't say dead weight, but a weight. And what am I talking about? Let me just take it a little bit further for you. We now have a president who is disengaged. You just heard Bill. He was in the next room. He's gone now. He gets out fast. Talking about the disengagement, how he, the president of the United States, is not engaged in life in this country. He is, you know, he finally has the dream job that he's, you know, sought, I think, three times or so, at least three times. And he's kind of enjoying it, and I'm happy for that. But the rest of America is not enjoying it. We're suffering daily from what this administration is doing to us. Government is not supposed to do it to us. They're not to, you know, they're not to be the big brother. They're not to be the one with the handkerchief to wipe your nose. No, they're the ones to keep you from having to have your nose wiped or else other things. All right, we talk about that. We talk about everything, and I don't mind holding back. And if you have a different opinion, you're more than welcome to call and opine. I won't hold it against you. In fact, I look forward to the challenge. Make us think. Tell us what you think.
And there's some people talking about a man running for sheriff that might actually be a coward. He's hiding in his basement. He won't come out, won't debate, won't contact the station for information. That's Carl Bickle. And the question is being asked, do you want him to be your sheriff?
And of course, you know, everybody overlooks the Board of Ed race, you know?
Yeah, I don't. You don't.
Yeah, I don't. And that's exactly why we're holding the debate. But, you know, Loudoun County, you could thank Loudoun County for putting the Board of Ed and the importance of the Board of Ed on the map, because when Glenn Youngkin ran for governor a couple of years ago, his whole campaign was centered on giving education back to parents.
Yeah, and that's what's supposed to happen. I mean, parents are supposed to be the ones that are involved. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, though, we've gotten a little apathetic over it.
Yeah, we certainly have. So we're expecting a good debate, and we're expecting all the candidates to show up, knock on wood.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, I have to tell you a real quick story. Last night, there was a virtual debate, which included the sheriff squaring off against his challenger, Carl Bickle.
Really?
Yeah. So I didn't know anything about this debate until somebody reached out to me on Friday, and she asked me if we'd be interested in covering it. Well, at 8:00, I'm in bed, so I told her that if she wanted to record the virtual debate, she could send it over, and you know, we would air bits and pieces, and I thought it'd be a good way to cover the debate. Well, she texted me on Saturday and said after further review, and she did not identify the one candidate or the candidates that did not want WFMD to cover it, but she said after further review, one of the candidates has decided that they don't want WFMD's coverage. Can you believe that?
Can you imagine who that would be?
Yeah, and I guarantee it was Basement Bickle, which I'm just going to start calling him Basement Bickle because he's too much of a coward to debate in public. He turned down the debate on that we had actually scheduled for the 17th. And, I, you know, I don't care what Carl Bickle thinks about me anymore. I'm not trying to kiss his butt. And I wasn't going to run around and try to pin him down. But I will tell you out there that if you're on the fence about the sheriff candidates, you shouldn't be. Because Chuck Jenkins has been everywhere. He's been talking to everybody. He doesn't duck anybody, whether it's right or left. Public safety shouldn't be a partisan issue. But, you know, in Carl Bickel's very, very weak candidacy, he has made it a partisan issue. And I will tell you that if Carl Bickel is somehow, by some stroke of luck, elected as the next sheriff, there will be mass resignations at the Frederick County Sheriff's Office, including everybody on the top command staff. You could take that to the bank. They will resign day one when he's sworn in. I know that for a fact.
Well, you know, look, I've talked to some people in the rank and file. Not everybody is, you know, completely happy with Chuck Jenkins either. So, I mean, you know, everybody, there's always, when it comes to bosses, it doesn't matter who you are. Everybody, you know, there's usually somebody who is in the camp and not in the camp. So mm-hmm. that does happen. I mean, I know that, and we happen to have who are deputies, and when I talk about people that I know in the force, I know a lot more people than the people that, you know, like Diana's husband or my other friend that tell us stuff. And I don't always want anybody to think, well, it's just those two guys. Well, that's not true. We have other people that were upset that that Chuck Jenkins back in the day, you know, talked about how great it was that he returned money to the county. And they were like, look, we need better equipment. We need different stuff. Which I think kind of Chuck got the message on that a little bit later, you know, after there was some debate and discussion about that. So, which is good. I mean, you know, it takes somebody to learn the job that says, hey, you know, I was this and now I'm making sure that this is happening. So that's
Jenkins perfect?
Grow with a job.
Is Jenkins perfect? No, he's not. That's the quick answer.
That about wraps it up for Weekend Free Talk Express. We hope you enjoyed some of the interviews brought back from this past week's broadcast on Free Talk WFMD. Join us again next time. Until then, I'm Bob Dacey.
Past editions of this program are available in the audio vault at WFMD.com, a service of Holtzapfel Heating and Air Conditioning.